You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Friends, Romans, countrymen, it's Stage Direction with Alice Canton.
Morena Alice.
Morena Rachel.
How are you?
I'm buzzing because I'm in the studio and it's just fabulous.
It's like, lovely to see your face.
Wow, like the third and fourth dimension, right? Crazy.
It has been far too long. We're not alone though, joined through the magic of technology. We've got Nathan Joe on the line. Hey Nathan, how are you?
Hey guys, morena.
Morena.
I'm pretty good. I'm actually sitting at the moment, well, kind of pacing, at the ASB Waterfront Theatre. It's our first day in, so that's quite exciting.
Oh, that is very exciting. First day in at the ASB Waterfront Theatre. Tell us a little bit about the show we're talking about today. It's got a very fantastic title. What's it called, Nathan?
Scenes from a Yellow Peril.
Scenes
from a Yellow Peril is a play I wrote about 4 years ago. Alice was actually involved in one of the early workshops, which is pretty cool. This is very full circle to be on the FM talking about it.
Yes, that's what happens with all our guests. I work with them and then we bring them back on the show and then they have to rate my performance over the period of time that I have worked on the show. And you have to say markedly how my impression on the work has made it better.
Yes.
So, Nathan, I'm interested, obviously, 4 years. Over that time, talk to me about what some of the key shifts have been with the work, because obviously making art is iterative and since then it's been in front of audiences, it's been workshopped, and now is premiering on the main stage at the Waterfront Theatre.
I think it goes back to my original impulse, which is that I think East Asians typically, with especially in Aotearoa, don't give themselves much permission, and I don't think, you know, culturally we're given much permission to be angry in a way that's seen as anything other than like maybe cute or it's just seen as kind of strange and not on brand for Asians, or at least historically. So, and if they were to do so, it's kind of very stigmatized. You know, and that's where the title comes from, Yellow Peril, which is sort of this, goes back to like these cartoons that were published way back, which characterized East Asians in particular as the sort of monstrous monolith that would kind of steal your woman or steal your man and take your jobs and were a threat to tangata whenua, all these things. So I kind of wanted to reclaim that and write a play that was driven by a celebration of anger and rage, and how can those things be quite cathartic. So that was the original impulse, and since then we've sort of drilled deeper and deeper into the text and I guess the cultural context in which we now inhabit, which in a way, as an East Asian claiming space, that is sort of also a very fraught thing when you're on stolen land. So we're trying to kind of wrestle with these contradictory things of, I want to be angry and I want to celebrate my anger, but also in doing so, who is that at the expense of sometimes? And why are we driven to do that? So yeah, trying to see all the sides of anger.
And tell me, what has your relationship to rage, how has that changed in a way? Like, can you stay angry for 4 years to sustain that as an artist? Like, is your rage pool now depleted, or do you find it's replenished just through the gorgeous representations of East Asian identity in the media? Talk to me about that.
I mean, honestly, I don't think rage can sustain you. Not for long periods of time. I think it's a very galvanizing, like, political tool and personal tool, but I think there'll be times when actually it's, you know, to stay rageful comes at the expense of other aspects of your life. And I think it's so, like, intrinsically tied to grief and joy. And I think you can't inhabit rage without inhabiting spaces like grief and sorrow. And that's quite a lot. So I think, you know, I guess celebrating Asian excellence that is currently, that we see in our pop culture. You know, I just watched Fire Island recently, and that was great. You know, you had two queer Asian male leads in what is ostensibly like a Hollywood rom-com, and that's like wild. And it's not a radical film in terms of its form per se, but because of the content, is so it just feels strange. You're watching something, you feel like a revolution is bubbling in like kind of on the unconscious waters. And I guess, you know, I hope for more of that kind of political change, that where rage isn't always necessary. But I do think rage is a really powerful catalyst. It sets things you know, it sets things ablaze and kicks things off in a way that actually just being nice can never do.
Yeah.
I believe.
So this is really interesting. Talk to me about, you know, a work like this, obviously it's going to speak to an audience that feels and understands and empathises with this notion, whether they are an East Asian audience or whether they're audience from other cultural diasporic communities or faith-based communities or, you know, ethnic and communities. But who are you making this work for, and who needs to be coming to see this work, and are they different?
It's a funny question that I always flip-flop around. I think genuinely it's first and foremost for my younger self in many regards, or like people like myself, people of difference who are children of the diaspora. Whoops, one of my earplugs just fell out. Children of the diaspora who have gone through a sense of kind of liminal belonging where you're not quite one or the other. I think people who are not, you know, citizens that feel very, their citizenship feels contingent on all these factors, I think will really identify with this. And citizens who feel like, how am I to be a good citizen when I belong nowhere? I think that's always a big question to me. And it's so easy to be like a bad Tohiwi Asian, actually. Like, that's what I, you know, that's kind of like a riff on like the kind of notion of being like the bad feminist. I feel like a bad Tohiwi Asian a lot of the time. And like, how do we wrestle with that and wrangle with that and reconcile all these factors? So I think first and foremost, for my younger self and for people like myself who, and I hope the current generation, their people are a bit more at ease with their identities, but I think identity is always something that's in flux, that's never chill. Identity is not a chill thing.
Just chill identity, damn. What about other people that don't fit with it? People who feel like they can lay claim to this place, not necessarily because they're Indigenous or First Nation, but because they are the types that lay claim. How are they going to feel watching this show?
I think it feels like the conversations that we'd talk would never say to them in person, or could never really say to them in person, and it's like, hey, let's create a space where you can listen to these kind of things that you wouldn't normally hear, things that are usually behind closed doors. And in a way, this is an immense privilege for you to be able to sit and what is stuff that we wouldn't normally be comfortable talking to you about, actually, because we're scared or anxious or afraid of what you will say. But here we have a contract to kind of sit in the space for, you know, 80 or so minutes to kind of go, take it or leave it. But I hope over this journey, you'll be privileged and moved to listen, actually. Yeah, I think that's a big part of it as well. As much as it's about my younger self or selves, it's also about, like Pākehā audiences who, not confronting them. I mean, yes, confronting them, but also welcoming them into the space to go, this is something you would not normally get to hear, actually.
That's a very generous element to that as well, I think, Nathan, because that's something we forget about, I think, as an audience quite often, is that when you're going and watching theatre or listening to, you know, other people's experiences and stories, it's actually a privilege to be able to hear that. No one owes you shit, you know? Like, if you're going to the theatre, even if you've paid for a ticket, you know, it's actually, you're in someone else's space there, and that's actually, I think, a really important thing for us to remember as audiences going to any type of work. You know, you don't necessarily have to even like what you've been to see, but that's a space that you're walking into that someone else has invited you into, and I think that's a really interesting challenge to lay out.
Absolutely. And I think I hope that the form and the craft and the staging can meet that challenge, I suppose, like, because I agree the content is sort of, who's to say what the content is, really? The form can hopefully hold that so that you can accept it.
Yeah.
And you're not just like, oh, what is this hot mess? of feelings and emotions and thoughts. Hopefully that hot mess will be contained in nice little containers that will be presented to you one and after the other.
Nice.
Love that. Might be a bit of spill, but you know. So Nathan, you're entering into production week and tech week, so you previews start on the 21st of June, which is it's very, very soon for opening on the 23rd of June at the ASB Theatre. But my understanding is it is a limited season, right? You guys aren't running for years, so is it only, you've can only got a window of what, like a week to catch it, or two weeks?
Yeah, so 2 weeks, which is, you know, pretty short for a main stage show, honestly. But also, it's a big space, so if you really want to see it, you can, because the ASB Waterfront is huge and there are still seats. But actually, we're selling pretty good, so I think if people want to see it, they should really engage with it, because I don't know when something like this will happen again, genuinely. Yeah. That's not just me kind of going, hey, get in while it's hot, and then, you know, there's like tons of return seasons. I think this is quite a gambit for ATC to be programming, and I don't think they've programmed anything like this really ever. As far as I'm concerned.
It's monumental in so many ways. Nathan, I cannot wait to see the show. I'm going to be there on opening night. Because you know that I love
excited.
to come to opening night for the wine and the banter. No, not at all. I come for free tickets. No, not at all. I come for the theatre. Nathan, look, wishing you all the best and your immaculate cast. There's some phenomenal performers in there. Really, it is. I saw the reading at Auckland Arts Festival a year or if not two ago, and I cannot wait to see it in its full glory. So break your leg for opening, and everyone should go and see this work.
Thank you, Nathan.
Thanks, Ella.
Thank you, Alice. We'll see you soon.
Whee!
That was Stage Direction with Alice Canton.
That was a 95 BFM podcast. Support 95 BFM with a B-card. Go to 95bfm.com/signup.